This is Restless. This is Restless here for you with some new hot off the presses Restless reaction to everyone's favorite person we react to, one Pastor Mark Driscoll. I am Matt Klein, joined not by Pastor Mark Driscoll, but Pastor Michael Bowman. Michael, I asked you before we recorded how you were doing, and it was a bit rough, quite frankly.
I'm really doing okay. My life is pretty fantastic. I was telling Matt, I had a migraine yesterday afternoon. It runs in my family to around the age that I'm at, start getting pretty severe migraines once in a while. And it hit, and I was out all day, not all afternoon and evening and night. And then today I just feel kind of out of it, but generally doing okay. And, I told my wife yesterday, even in the midst of this migraine, I was kind of like, I know God loves me. He has a funny way of showing it once in a while, but I do trust that for whatever reason, this is actually a really good thing for me. So I'm doing well, and I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to talk about what everybody in our circles has been talking about lately.
Mm. So, Pastor Michael, we get today to talk a little bit about something that kind of blew up the internet relating to Mark Driscoll. An event at a men's conference on a men's conference that I am very disconnected from this world. It was hard to believe that this existed. and everything about it, every layer of this story that we will walk through today, in my mind, gets weirder and weirder. And so we are going to make the dispensationalist talking about Iran and Israel sound normal by the end of this thing with how many levels down this goes. Later this week, watch out for probably a bonus episode from us inviting you into the conspiracy corner and why. Next week, we might just have some yay, nay, or nuance. I don't know what's going to come out. We've got stuff coming out for patrons. We've got stuff coming out for you. And our main episode next week, I believe, is going to be the origin story of TGC. So I've teased it a few times. Next week we are doing it. Do you think we'll include audio clips along with it, Pastor Michael? You've done some of the background listening so far. Do you think some of the audio clips would be helpful?
Yeah, I think we could get some in. It's not maybe what I listen to doesn't have like one for one. Here's why we're doing the Gospel Coalition or anything like that. It's more just a sermon, but we can include some of that. This is all coming from D.A. Carson.
That's right. And we'll talk through the article that one Colin Hansen wrote about why this sermon explains the origin of the Gospel Coalition. And by the end, we will discuss how close, far, or why so much has seemed to shift in it throughout. So it'll be a good episode coming up next week. This week, though, Pastor Michael, we are diving deep into the megachurch, Mark Driscoll, evangelicalism.
What is the worst, Matt, is that this kind of world, this megachurch world, it is larger than the Reformed world we're a part of.
I mean, yes.
Like that. That's what's so, I'm just so saddened by that reality that my like normal church, that's just simple, ordinary means of grace, it absolutely pales in comparison, at least in the U.S., to this kind of ordeal.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I don't exactly know where to start other than that a tweet by a person I don't know who this is. His Twitter handle is The C. Frazier. He posted a tweet that went viral. It now has 2.1 million views, probably because he tagged like very famous Twitter accounts like Libs of TikTok, right? I guess this was like his chance, like this is my chance to go viral with something. And he tagged it about a a men's conference that was being held at what's the mega church? James River Church in Springfield, Missouri, where the event is some kind of men's conference. And what's going to happen is Driscoll gets up to speak out against a act that was performed by a sword swallower and is asked to leave the stage. So Pastor Michael, first of all, let's talk a little bit about this mega church and what's going on there, this men's conference.
Everything that comes out about this is just wild. To even imagine what kind of a place does this. So
let me mute it. But here's the sword swallowers thing.
So what we're seeing, by the way, is a guy that strips down and is dancing around on a pole and apparently is a former Las Vegas stripper. That's what he's somewhat known for, evidently. That's what at least a lot of these tweet threads were saying. And I'm not going to lie, that's what he's doing on stage. I mean, that's what
it is. I'll say that his exact role as an entertainer was up for some debate. Right. He currently performs as a sword swallower. So like a very carnival act. Obviously, yes, he is doing so.
Remember, this isn't a church.
This is a church.
Quote unquote. Yeah. Church. For a church event, a church men's conference.
A stronger men's conference. A conference. Do you think there are more people there than the PCA's General Assembly? Because
yes.
I do.
Almost right? Guaranteed.
That's how large this is.
Almost guaranteed. And I saw videos from a previous year that somebody was sharing where you had a tank that comes in and like crushes a bunch of vehicles. The advertisement for this conference was, like, you know, you have monster truck rallies in the middle of the church. You've got a boxing match going on. So
can I say one thing? Here's the first thing I thought about this, regardless of how outrageous or not it is that is this man again, I don't want to throw shade on this carnival act guy. Like, he's cashing a check, and he might be some kind of a Christian, thinks somehow he's helping.
I doubt it. Maybe that's not the case, but my experience, especially with mega churches, is they generally don't give a rip if anybody that's performing, including in their worship teams and things like that, are believers at all, right? Like, they don't care because it's a performance. They just want whoever can do a cool thing.
And I don't know what to think about sword swallowing, though. Yikes.
it does freak me out.
It does. But the thing that made me think about this, like, when we talk about evangelicalism, or especially like this big box mega church, because obviously I don't want to put like your little Bible church you go to in the same category as this, right? Your Bible church or whatever. When I look at this, like, if we don't think there's something wrong at the core of this, we owe the Roman Catholic Church an apology for the Reformation.
Yeah.
This is at least as bad as that. And I know the guy is going to get up there and defend this with Bible verses in a few minutes, but so did they. And they knew, they definitely knew more of the Bible than whoever this guy is who's
right.
about to get up
right. There's no doubt. Oh, there's no doubt. It's so brutal. And but again, it shows you that the center of it all, we've talked about this a million times at this point, the center of it all is actually just entertainment, right? Like, what will titillate the most? What will excite the most? What will draw the biggest crowd? That's all that matters. That's all that matters. And you can kind of laugh at this, but there are tens of thousands of churches that are much smaller than this, that don't have the budget to do this kind of thing, that are doing the exact same thing just with less money, right? Like, they don't have the ability to draw quite the same crowd. They can't put on such a big production, but they are simply putting on a production. That's what it is. It's not actual means of grace ministry. It is purely focused on these kinds of carnal, earthly things that draw people in.
If Roman Catholicism is a different religion, right? And by that, I mean a thing that, like, we wouldn't marry someone to, right? Like, that we require has to exist some degree of division. Entertainment as church is a different religion in the same way.
Worse.
Yeah, worse.
Worse in a lot of ways, right? Because when you have a group that's still tied to things like the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, things like that, all of a sudden, okay, there's something there, right? There's some substance. When you look at this, you got to think there is little to no substance.
Right. It's like, what do I reform about the sword dancer act at the beginning of a mess? Well, there's not much. It's not like, hey, we got to
save in this.
Like, there's nothing to reform, right? At least the Roman Catholics are like, hey, we do the Lord's Supper in a way that's dishonoring. We need to reform that. This, it's like,
what? Okay. The Lord's Supper?
Yeah, I know.
This is the meme. This is, you know, the like marketing meme. It's, you know, hey, we could have a sword swallowing stripper, you know, dance around on a pole for church. But what will that teach people about Christ? And then the question is, Christ? Wait, what are you talking about?
What the reason this particular one got so much attention is
because this is happening all over the place all the time. This is not the only one. It's happening all over.
If we wanted to, the Restless Podcast could be watch megachurch do dumb cringe things every week. That could be this show. I don't know if that would be a show anyone should want or should watch regularly, but it could be. But it is a good reminder, right? It is a good reminder of that. Now, this got all the attention because this conference asked one Pastor Mark Driscoll to be one of the headline speakers. And he got up, and let's listen to the two things he said that were included in this week that got everyone going.
We're going to talk about how to be an Elijah and how to deal with they have a Jezebel. But let me do this. I've been up since 1 o'clock in the morning. The reason I'm hoarse is I have been praying for you, and my heart is very burnt for you. And I want to be very careful with this, and it's not what I want to say, but the Jezebel spirit has already been here. The Jezebel spirit opened our event. This is a rebuke and a correction of no one. This is an observation. Before the word of God was open, there was a platform. It was a high place. On it was a pole, an asherah. The same thing that's used in a strip club for women who have the Jezebel spirit to seduce men. In front of that was a man who ripped his shirt off like a woman does in front of a pole at a strip club. That man then ascended. See, our God is not arrogant. He doesn't ascend. Our God is humble. He descends. And then he swallowed a sword, and Jesus Christ, okay, Pastor John, I'll receive that. Thank you.
Wait, now let's watch.
And then he swallowed a sword.
Oh, no, am I actually going to start? Okay, great, we're going to get it this time.
And then he swallowed a sword.
There's a guy yelling, Jesus, you're out of line, Mark, if you can't hear it.
Thank you.
Boos.
Yeah, the crowd is booing as Driscoll leaves.
Yeah. Yelling, no, he's not done. Get off the stage. People are screaming.
Get off!
Can you believe
if Mark wanted to say that, he should have said it to me first. He did Matthew 18. Matthew 18. If your brother offends you, go to him privately. I talked to Mark for a half hour. There was not one word in that. He's out of line. If you want to say it, he can say it to me. You may not agree with me, you may not agree with him, but we are brothers in Christ, and there's a right way to handle disagreement. And then...
Oh, so boy. Pastor, you just feel kind of gross after watching all that, huh?
yeah, you do. But everyone, all the millions of people who watched it. So Pastor Michael, obviously there were a lot of thoughts about this. For example, let's get rid of one thought. And in fact, this thought was shared by USA Today. As you might be surprised. What did USA Today have to say? That USA Today said Mark Driscoll blamed women for what happened at this men's conference. Now, Pastor Michael, how did he do that? By saying this was the Jezebel spirit, which we can all agree is a weird thing to say. But a very large group of the internet said, oh, here goes Mark Driscoll again. Same chauvinist. He found a way to blame women for what was happening at a men's conference. But fortunately, because of Christianity Today doing so, I mean USA Today, not Christianity Today, USA Today, national newspaper, reported this. Driscoll clarified his definition of the Jezebel spirit. And let me read to you, just for the sake of, I don't know why, so you know what he means, the Jezebel spirit. The Jezebel spirit is a demon that has worked through men and women through centuries, from Queen Jezebel in 1 Kings to Jesus's rebuke of the church in Thyatira in Revelation 2. This demon seeks to control and dominate, often through seductive women, but oftentimes through overbearing and domineering men. I literally wrote the book on this. I want to give it away absolutely free. I just want men and women to learn more about the spiritual war that we see. And then he posted a link to his new book, which he was giving away for at least a short amount of time, called New Days, Old Demons.
Killer title. We gotta give him that. We here at Restless are balanced in our approach to these things, and so we'll give him that one. It's a cool name.
So Pastor Michael, obviously that was one take. The somehow they found a way to make this about men's complementarianism. So now that we've eliminated that as something we could talk about, so Driscoll's a folk hero again, because.
Yes.
Because
at least for a little while, right? And yes. And you know, there will be less, like with anything like this, something goes viral and then the kind of follow-up to it is always much smaller. Always much smaller. And that's just the nature of things.
And we will get to the follow-up in a moment, for sure.
So at least in the moment, how I saw this being, you know, shared was very much good on Driscoll. Look at Driscoll calling this out.
Driscoll's doing a great job.
Yeah, this is the Driscoll we kind of knew and loved. And even people that were like, hey, I still don't like him, but you know, props where they're deserved. It's good for him to call this out. Now, could we say, yes, there is an element to being willing to call something out as good, and also say what Driscoll does here is not really calling it out, right? Especially when you're talking about being an Elijah, especially an Elijah when it comes to the Jezebel spirit, and you're convinced, you said that you've been up all night since 1 a.m., all morning, I should say, that like this Jezebel spirit that you say is a specific demon was literally here at our church men's event with a high place and an altar. Okay, then just ask yourself, what would Elijah do? Would Elijah say, for instance, this is not a rebuke on anyone. This is just an observation. would Elijah then, when the guy who invited this demon evidently into his church and propped it up, says, "You're out of line, you're done," say, "Okay, you're right, absolutely, thank
you." I receive
you.
That.
I received that rebuke. Pastor John, by the way, I received that rebuke.
I would like all of Driscoll's critics who say the man has never received a rebuke or criticism to give him a round of applause right now. At this conference, Driscoll has been willing to admit he was wrong.
From this guy, from the Jezebel spirit inviting, like, pole dancer lifting up guy.
The moment I want old Driscoll, who was like, "I'm going to burn down the emergent church on my way out." That's who I want. Fight, monsters. Fight. 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 That's what I want. But no, we got the first time ever Driscoll's like, I'll receive that. Why?
Yeah, I think so much of this, by the way, is that people are just excited, that people want the old Driscoll kind of character, right? That the guy who did, like, stand up at the Emergent Church Conference and say, "Hey, all these guys are denying hell, but that's, like, that's heresy." What's being said here is heresy. They want that guy. And he did that, by the way, when it wasn't like as big of a deal, right? Like, it wasn't where you can put it out on Twitter and everybody's going to see it necessarily. People want that guy in these places, right? Because you and I, from our, you know, very small Presbyterian circles, can call out the crazy mega church cringe all that we want. And I've contemplated, by the way, starting to try to just go on a tear online against some of this stuff, just locally. I've thought, would that be beneficial? Because there's so many people caught up in it. And we get more and more people over time that have just been absolutely burned and destroyed, right? And so out of love for the sheep, like, should I do more? Should I do something like that? And at this point, I've decided not to. I don't know if that will always be the case. But, like, people want somebody that will do that, right? Somebody who's got the ability to be on those stages in those places and actually be an Elijah-type figure, right? To actually, in the spirit of Elijah, call these things out, much like John the Baptist in the spirit of Elijah came preaching repentance and called out Herod. But that's not at all what actually happened here. Not even close, unfortunately. But that's what people were excited about. That's why I think people were sharing this and excited about it, is because they thought, hey, maybe we've got it again. Maybe that is coming back. But the reality is it's not at all. Sadly, I mean, I wish this was true repentance.
So let's talk about two things. This other guy, well, I mean, we could talk about a number of things this other mega church guy said. And I agreed with almost none of them, but only two of them were very right. Were very worthwhile to talk about. The first one is where he said, like, Driscoll, like, he's not following Matthew 18. Like, we have to handle these things, which, by the way, it's very sad. Like, I'm sad for him, and I'm sad for how this has come up, how this Matthew 18 is now used in Big Eva. It is used to take the Lord's name in vain.
Yeah.
Right. It is now used to hide behind and never be corrected or have anything public ever happen to you.
Yep.
Right. It is now completely used in vain.
Yeah. Let's be clear. This, I mean, it's not just in Big Eva mega churches either, right? It's in the PCA. It's in the, you know, it's in the different Reformed churches. It's everywhere where Matthew 18 is used as a way to cover up sin.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when somebody who is in obvious, clear sin uses it to try to stifle any process that would call them to repentance. Right. That is maybe the way that it's used most in a lot of our church circles. And it's horrific, right? I was contemplating that when I was thinking about his use of it, how this is not just these guys, although it is very obvious here, but it's so common for massive, public, obvious sins, right? For abuse, for sexual scandal, for all kinds of things to be out. And then for the response to not be repentance from the one that's clearly in sin, but well, you didn't follow the right procedure in calling out my sin. And here's the deal. Even in cases where that's true, the greater sin is still the sin, right? Like the greater sin is still...
It still doesn't excuse you.
It doesn't excuse your sin. It's not actually covering up or justifying the sin, but that's how it's so often used. And yeah, it does make my blood boil a little bit.
Right. Because if I accepted the man's testimony that we're brothers in Christ, which, by the way, I do not necessarily in any way just take...
At this point, my assumption is you are a son of the devil. Like, there's no reason for me to believe that there's any true faith in you until I see true repentance.
But if I accepted that claim, then the procedure that I am due to you to follow would be the Apostle Paul's opposition of Peter. In Galatians 2:11 and 14, here are two verses about the procedure I would biblically follow. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile, not a Jew, how can you force Gentiles to live like Jews? One, Paul knows Peter is an apostle, that they share the office given to them by Jesus Christ. He says, this man can stand condemned. Man, we think like we are resistant to any leader, Christian leader being corrected. Paul thinks I can condemn an apostle, right? Now, again, they were both apostles. There are unique things there. But
one of the things that made it necessary to do that was both his position and the public nature of the sin.
Yes, that's right.
So those two things made it so that Matthew 18 way of doing things is not actually in play. It's not how you handle things in that instance. If it's a public sin, and if it's done by somebody in authority like this, it has to be done publicly, like the rebuke, the condemnation has to be done publicly because that's where it took place, right? That's the context in which it took place. And because it's a leader of the church, not just, you know, somebody, you know, if this was Paul talking to somebody in one of the churches that he's writing a letter to, sometimes he's still pretty strong, but usually he doesn't name them. He doesn't go out of his way to show this. He might mention sins that are going on, but he's a little bit more general. But when it comes to leaders in the church or people that are leading people astray through their authority, he's very quick to call them out directly, obviously, in front of everybody.
Right.
And that should teach us something about what's necessary in times like this.
Once again, if we are required to try and handle every dispute over doctrine, or error in the church, or all of these things privately, the Reformation owes the Roman Catholic Church an apology, who literally every sermon and everything they wrote was calling out the sin of the Roman Catholic Church. Well, Luther, did you try and do a peacemaker's process with the Pope? I don't think so, right? Like this wasn't, but because it wasn't a personal, it wasn't a matter of a personal offense.
Yeah.
Right.
Can we also say, like, there's also offenses and sin. To take Matthew 18 and make it this is the only way that any kind of calling out sin or discipline process could ever take place is to simply misread the scripture and to not understand how you're supposed to read it. Right. Because, for instance, in the case of, you know, let's say that you are somebody who's been abused by somebody in authority in the church. Mm-hmm. Well, Matthew 18, you should go to them first. No, you go to others in authority, right? You go to somebody else for help, and that's okay. It's good and it's right. This idea, I just think that so many people hide behind Matthew 18 as a way to cover up their sin. And that's actually the opposite of what Christ is doing in that, right? This is a process that's supposed to lead to repentance of sin, not as a means to cover up your sin. And anytime it's used as a cover up for sin, you're actually not applying it right. Even if on a technical ground, right? According to the letter of the law, look, I'm following it. You're really doing it because You're hiding your sin from other people and from God. You're trying to justify your sin. That's the opposite of what Christ was doing in teaching us this process.
But Pastor Michael, if I don't take Matthew 18 as the controlling text of church government and disputes, I probably won't still be a congregationalist. What do I do? Oh no, but what do I do there? I
can't. As a Presbyterian, hey,
I'm a Baptist. You can't do this to me.
Yeah, it's you are correct. I mean, as a Presbyterian, I'm gonna say you're correct. For our Baptist listeners, we love you guys. We'd love to have you on the show. And we'd love to have you on the show.
You can do Matthew 18 with us if we're wrong about this. So Pastor Michael, the other thing he said that I think is worth noting was I was talking to Mark Driscoll for 30 minutes this morning and didn't hear one word of this. That, I think, is the interesting move. Because I think that's what makes you go, oh, so this is kind of a show.
Yeah.
Right.
Like he saved it completely for this group.
Right, because I have no problem with him getting up there and doing that. Yep. No problem at all. But I do think it is very, it's good. I'm going to have a hard time not saying it's duplicitous. If you're like, oh yeah, so great to be here at this conference with you. Well, you know, what kind of Jag do you drive? Ha ha ha, you know, like, right? Like, whatever you talk about in these weird environments, you know. And then to get up there and do that, that was the thing that made me go, oh, wow, something is.
Yep. Yeah. So let's start, like, how could this have been handled? Like, you know, if this was that big of a deal to Driscoll, again, he's literally said at this point that we, and by we, I mean, it has to mean the guy who heads this all up, invited a literal demon to open up this conference with a high place and an Asherah pole in direct antichrist fashion, right? In every way opposed to Christ. If that really is the case and you show up that day to that conference, the first thing you're doing, I would hope, is going to the guy that did it and saying, this was wicked, this was wrong. Again, we're talking about being an Elijah. In the spirit of Elijah, what do? You're not... Like, you're going, and you're talking to Ahab, and you're saying, look what you've done, right? Like, look at what it is that you've done that dishonors God. And the fact that, like you're saying, you kind of, you know, just go, you chat, you know, this is going to be fun, let's do this together, and then get up and do it. That is, it's duplicitous, and it does make you think more so, yeah, maybe this was all a stunt.
And whatever courage points we were going to give you, right? Because, again, you and I, from my little bunker in our basements here, like, again, this isn't very costly for us to do, to talk about this, right? That's why someone wants someone like the folk hero Driscoll to do it in their that first clip. But if you're going about it this way, it's not very brave. And now, again, a person, right, here's my devil's advocacy, and I'll do this, and then we'll go on to the final clip that I have not watched all the way through, but I started seeing in the comments this thing that I will bet most of our listeners haven't seen yet. Right, the devil's advocate would be, well, if I approached him before, this idea that, oh, but if I mentioned to him before, I won't get to do it on stage. And I get that as like a potential defense. The reason I disagree with it is, if you do this, they say there's no way you're speaking at this conference, you get kicked out. Do you know what you can immediately do? You just tag the conference and you do a live stream out front saying, just so you know, because I disagreed with blah blah blah, they wouldn't even let me in there.
I called this out. Twitter. You know how to market this, right? Like, how to do this if you get kicked out. You might get more people listening if you get kicked out rather than going on stage.
I'd like to give every person at this conference a copy of my book, right? Because obviously we know there's always a little bit of marketing in him. I don't agree with that. And And so if that guy is telling the truth, I think it casts it all into another shade. The other thing that I think cast this all into a very different shade was, as I started going down the comments, the first comment I saw about it was really positive. It was like, well, just so you know, they did get Mark Driscoll back out there, and the two of them totally reconciled. Hooray for Christian unity. It was like a celebration. And then a number of people talked about how maybe it wasn't something we should all celebrate. But of course, there was one like, just
like,
feel,
wow, this is awesome.
You feel so bad to be that person, to be like, to just have that. I'll just say that little discernment, quite honestly, to be like, they did it. Like, they showed us what brothers are.
It's the norm. This is the reality, is that almost nobody has discernment. If you go to a church like this, you definitely have no discernment, because you're never taught, right? You're never actually given the word of God, and you're never taught how to actually discern what is right and wrong, how to properly handle the word. And so, yeah, like, that's going to be the norm in these circles. And the kind of impressionistic, oh, everybody made up in the end, is an ideal. When, especially again, we're talking about Elijah, we're talking about being men, right? We're talking about drawing hard lines and being strong. Then that actually, that's not going to be what you want. So,
yeah. So apparently, this was a pretty long conversation that it took the place of whatever, you know, whatever like sermon from Driscoll's sermon series or book he was going to give. They had this conversation after he gets back out on stage. So let's listen in for a bit. We'll see if we can hear it decently.
Mark and Grace have been friends through the years. When there was trouble in Mars Hill, Debbie and I sat on our couch in our family room and wept.
And you guys have been some of the greatest friends to me and my family through the hardest seasons of our life. And I thank you for being a good pastor and spiritual father.
I love this guy. I believe in this guy. As we were sitting over there, Mark, talking. You want to know what John the Baptist was like? Mark's a prophetic voice to our generation. Nothing about what was said changes that. And Mark and I talked. We went outside where we could be alone and we could talk. And we reaffirmed our friendship. And Mark, I want you to know, you're a gift to the kingdom. You're a gift to James River. I love you. And I told Mark, listen, he says, I'll do whatever you want. I said, well, if you're willing, and we can come in and talk, and we'll let him talk to you in a moment. If you're willing, I want you to speak again. I want to find out about Elijah. Yeah!
I honor, respect, and love and admire you as the father of this house. This is the greatest men's event, I believe, in the country right now. Stay pure for a long time. I want to thank you for having such a great heart for men. And I want to thank you that it starts with your sons. And your sons are great men. I love you and I love your sons. And when I was teaching, I just kept seeing that. Maybe it was the Lord, and maybe it's just me and I'm peculiar. No. We're not going to do division. What we're going to do is we're going to try and model how brothers can work together. I believe what I should have done, since I had another session, I was thinking about it. It wasn't in my notes. I didn't intend to go there. I was up late praying for the men. I just kept seeing it, and I should have, between sessions, talked to you rather than just verbal processing on the stage. And as the father and the head of the house, you could have given me a thumbs up or down, and I need to honor that as a spiritual authority. And I honor your spiritual authority. How is that?
He was really quiet there, and he just said, I should have talked to you rather than just verbally processing on the stage. As the father and head of the house, you could have given me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. I need to honor that as spiritual authority. There's 20 seconds left. We'll see if we can hear any more.
I apologize to you for not going that route, which would have led us from the most awkward moment in the history of any men's event. So, yeah, And I don't, I mean, if I were you, I wouldn't let him speak again. That's something you should pray about. But,
wow. Oh, so here's what I've just successfully done. If you came into this at all thinking Mark Driscoll the folk hero, I'm betting by now that's dead. That dream is dead. Wow. So what do you do with that? What do you do with that 2 minutes of
just again think about John the Baptist. That's how we started, right? This is the spirit of, we want men to have the spirit of Elijah, like John the Baptist is the spirit of Elijah. This man, the pastor of James River, says he is like John the Baptist. If you want to know what John the Baptist was like, this is him. You give me the scene where John the Baptist calls out Herod and then sits with him later and says, I didn't rightfully recognize your authority, which he rightfully had, by the way.
I didn't
recognize your authority and honor it like I should have, and I really want to apologize to you, and I made this so awkward for all of us.
I bet I made it hard with your wife. Ah! I bet.
Oh boy, that should show you, man, what a mess. And then, you know, Driscoll just said, oh, you have such a great event. You've been such a good friend to me. And that shows, hey, maybe there is a deep, like, personal connection here.
Sure.
And that is actually when it's hardest to call somebody out.
Yep.
You could imagine Driscoll maybe goes on stage. Again, we're just playing devil's advocate a little bit. He maybe goes on stage thinking, hey, I'm going to do this. And what it's going to lead to is all of us are going to agree. He's going to come out and say he's right about this. It's going to be this awesome moment. A fantastic production at that point, by the way, because we did this. Now we're live repenting of it in front of everybody. Isn't that cool of us? Like that, you could imagine how that might be going through his head. I've been in situations like that, right, where you go up thinking, oh, yeah, everybody's going to agree with this. And then that doesn't happen. Well, then how do you react? Well, if truly you've been calling out a demon, you don't then say, you know, I should have gone to you for, it's not, you know, it, I shouldn't have made it so awkward, man. You know, it, I guess that demon can stay, you know, I guess.
People see these things differently. You know, if we should side with the demons or not, it's a hard path to walk.
It shows you that, that one of the two things is something that he actually doesn't believe.
Mm.
Right? Like either he doesn't actually believe that there is this Jezebel demon. He doesn't believe any of that. And that's all for show. Or he comes back and he says what he's saying now. And that's really for show. If you truly do believe one or the other, they can't coincide, right? They can't possibly go together.
Or he is too deep into a system of church that is so unbiblical, there is no way out of it.
Yeah.
Like there is no way out of it except to say, we don't do this anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Like to the authority, like well, I can't disagree with the vision cast and leader. Well, even if there's really bad things here, at least people are becoming Christians, right? Like all the kinds of things that have propped up Driscoll. Right, we can't remove them all, otherwise it all comes down. Well, everyone, this was a long reaction to a short clip to the most awkward moment at a men's conference history, and it was not Driscoll attempting to rebuke the guy, it was those two complimenting each other profusely afterwards. If you like this show, don't be awkward. Give us 5 stars. 5 stars only. We are so thankful you could join us.